Hello, world. We got Giant Arcade, Stowaway Spider, and BMX in the Clouds. Holy crap. Goodness. What do we have here? I'm Don.
It's your boy, Kaiko.
And I'm Kiara.
And you are watching Showcase for the week ending Sunday, April 16th, 2023. Let's get started. Right. Stop the presses. This is our Sunday show, and that means weird headlines and your live chat comments. With me tonight are my good friends and colleagues, Kaiko and Kiara. Kaiko, we'll start with you. Good to see you again. How you doing, man?
Sir, I'm in here. I'm living. Same thing.
Okay, cool. And also joining us tonight is another close friend and colleague, who is Ms. Kiara, who has chosen to join us after a long absence. Good grief. It's been a while since we last saw you on one of these live streams, Kiara. How are you doing?
I've been good. You know, we're here. We're alive, drinking our water, taking in the sunshine. I feel good. We're doing good.
Glad to hear it. Yeah, we're sort of like coming up to the precipice of summertime, it feels like right now. But like weather is kind of like going a little bit nutty right now in certain areas. So oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, hopefully we can manage to stay dry and hydrated and safe as we sort of go through the rest of 2023 here. But anyway, thank you both for joining me, and thank you at home as well for watching along. Don't forget to hit that like button and subscription bell. If you have any weird news headlines, game stream ideas, or dad jokes to suggest, use the contact form on our Linktree page, which is now scrolling at the bottom of the screen. And if you are with us live, feel free to drop us a line in the live chat, and we just might read it off live on air. So, with no further delays, let's go ahead and get started with... hang on a second. Here we are. Arrange our stuff appropriately here. All right. So, first order of business comes to us from UPI. New York Museum building world's largest Donkey Kong arcade machine. And there that is. There's a model of a person, therefore scale. I can't imagine playing an arcade machine this big. This is the sort of thing where, like, if you want to do Wreck-It Ralph for real, like build an arcade machine this big and just, you know, like mess around with it and the inside for real, because it's big enough to support it. What do you guys think?
I think this is pretty dope. It's pretty cool.
So, I was never good at Donkey Kong. So, I'm upset that Donkey Kong for this big thing.
So you probably know what I'm going to ask next, Kaiko. Like, what game would you choose to put in this arcade tower instead? This, like, what looks to be maybe easily, like, 10, 15-foot tall tower.
I mean, Super Mario, you know what I'm saying? You know, they could have just went with the original.
They put Donkey Kong. I mean, who isn't Donkey Kong? You like how I say Mario? He isn't Donkey Kong.
Well, technically, his name back then was Jumpman. Technically.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. He had a different name back then. Yeah. Ooh. Nerd alert. I know. But say again.
I said that's what you're talking about.
Oh, no. Ha ha ha. Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Someone's a sneakerhead. All right. Fair enough. Anyway, so this is... All right. The New York Museum that houses the World Video Game Hall of Fame announced it is installing a 20-foot Donkey Kong arcade cabinet designed to be the largest in the world. The Strong National Museum of Play in Rochester announced on social media it is working to create the world's largest playable Donkey Kong arcade game. The machine will be 370% larger than the original arcade cabinet, but will be fully functional and available for guests to play. The cabinet is planned to be 20 feet tall, dwarfing the 16-foot tall Tetris cabinet that holds the Guinness record for world's largest arcade machine. I remember reading about that some time ago, actually. This is one of those things that it's cool to take a selfie next to, I guess. But I guess I'm just having trouble wrapping my mind around, like, the idea of in practical terms. Like, what does that mean for... They couldn't make the controls to scale. Like, imagine having a 370% bigger arcade stick and buttons. You know what I'm saying? Mm.
I mean, would y'all ever try that? It's definitely a challenge. My question is who's going to pay that light bill? Because
that's valid.
Because that's a lot of electricity.
And that's probably going to wind up being a cost that gets passed down to the player as well. Imagine how many quarters it's going to take to power this thing. You know what?
It might be like $5 to play.
Right.
Shoot, that is wild.
See, and I'm not.
It'd be fun to play this, but yeah.
I'm not paying $5 for Donkey Kong. That's all I'm saying. I just.
Somebody will. Yeah. Somebody will. I mean, I definitely. Anybody who has an N64, like, they're coming out here hard. Oh, they're coming out here first.
Don't get me wrong. Like
they're gonna mush every small child that they see and say, "Don't even."
Right.
Don't Fair even. Enough. I hear
this
that.
Is
I hear
my
that.
My time to shine.
like the line really starts cool. behind here. I'll let y'all know when I'm done beating this high score. Basically.
Seriously.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if it has multiplayer, you can forget it. Just say goodbye. Like, oh my god.
It looks like this model only supports one person though. But maybe that's in a later update.
They're gonna make that one person in the two, man. I can't even imagine somebody having one person play each. No. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Oh man, that's an idea. Actually, come think of it, the way you said that, one person playing Jumpman and the other person playing Donkey Kong, and it's sort of competitive like that. One person trying to keep the other one from reaching Pauline. Yeah. I think was her name. Is that right?
See, what? This is-
Pauline, I think, was the woman's name in that game.
Oh, in the yes, I believe.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
That's a character. That's a character now, isn't it?
Yeah, since Mario Odyssey, they brought it back for that. Yeah. But those of you in the comments section, I think Pauline was her name. Drop us a comment if I'm remembering wrong. I understand. I'm willing to be proven wrong. It's okay. It's rare, but it happens. But anyway, so we're doing weird news right here on Weekend Showcase, live across YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter at Weekend Showcase, and Kick, by the way, kick.com/Weekend Showcase. Thanks for joining and smashing that like button and subscribing or following. Let's see what else we've got on the docket tonight. Let's see. Next topic is from the New York Post. Man shocked by massive spider hiding in banana. Fright of my life. Wow.
Good night.
Those have to be the bananas I've ever seen.
No.
So now I understand where y'all are coming from. Kaiko, you've made it clear how much of a fan of spiders you are, and Kiara, you're operating off of basic common sense. No, I'm kidding. Kaiko, why? Come on, there has to be a line. This is food.
I would share the bananas with the spider, and he would sit there nicely with me and enjoy the bananas with me. That's what I'm saying.
Kiara, help me out here. Come on. Like, what? Come
into
on.
The garbage disposal you go, bud. That's it.
So
disrupting my breakfast like that. Disrupting my breakfast. No, you gotta go. You gotta go.
Probably have to pop that thing though.
So, Kiara, would you eat the bananas like in your cereal or separately?
Absolutely. How
would
this be? Not. No, we're throwing. I'm throwing them.
Not this banana. No. Not this banana. I'm saying in general terms.
I'm a more of a banana peanut butter girl. You know, I just crack open a banana, grab the knife with the peanut butter jar, and call it a day.
Hmm.
Okay.
God forbid if you put that banana in the smoothie, because then you're gonna be eating the spider with it.
Oh,
like, imagine you're not paying attention. No, I'm serious. Like, you thought it was just every regular day, and then you just out here chopping it up, and then that is in your smoothie. But that is in your smoothie.
If it got chopped up, then it's good. It's good if it got chopped up. It's good. It's add flavor. It's good.
No, I'm good.
To be fair, days are known for being equal parts regular and degular. All right, it's too early for dad jokes. Fine, whatever. Yeah. It was a thing. It was right there. I had to go ahead and go for it. Anyway, it sounded like y'all were gonna make one more point before I move on into the rest of the story.
Is it poisonous?
Okay. We're about to find out. While opening up a bunch of bananas he bought from UK grocery store Tesco, Craig Harrison, age 35, noticed a giant female spider in the bag, along with her egg sac that could have contained up to 200 babies.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. No.
Harrison told Caters, quote, I don't think I've ever had a shock horror reaction like it before. I was completely gobsmacked to discover it. Gave me the fright of my life, end quote. And the spider wasn't just huge, it was also venomous. Known as the Huntsman spider, the Huntsman spider is the largest arachnid in the world and can be pretty painful, though not deadly, if it bites you due to its venom. This particular kind of spider can grow to have up to a 1 foot long leg span. Kaiko.
Yeah, I like him.
You gonna run with that?
I'm running with it.
Wow.
He's all for it. He said, let's go.
Yeah, that's also above my pay grade. I'm not even gonna waste the time asking what your input on this would be at this point upon this revelation, Kiara. It's pretty clear.
You gotta burn it all down. That's it. Everything gotta go.
Fire sale. Fire sale. Everything must go. Definitely far away from And you can see the little brown thing underneath the Huntsman here. Like, that's, it didn't even register with me that was an egg sac. I thought maybe that was another, some kind of like a wad of, I don't know, like a wad of something, basically. Like, probably not gum, but like maybe another sticker label or something, basically. I'm just now realizing that's an egg sac.
It's filling in that plastic, living its best life.
That is a scary creature. Look at that.
Good night. No.
Anyway. Enjoy your meal, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are eating dinner right now. Let's move on. Let's move on to the next topic, the third subject area for our particular episode tonight. This is from Sky News. Let's go ahead and do this. Red Bull BMX rider Chris Kyle performs tricks on floating skate park 2,000 feet in the air. This was posted 3 days ago.
Oh my, he crazy.
Yeah, I saw this. It was actually pretty cool.
This was in a commercial, or where else did you see this, Kiara?
There was, it popped up on my Explore page. Sometimes I like to watch, like, people who do parkour, or, like, those crazy people that be, like, out there, like, hanging off of cliffs and stuff. And I saw, it was somebody who was at this event, or somebody who was able to, like, get the footage, and I saw a little bit of it. And it was pretty cool. I mean, to be a professional... I feel like to be a professional BMX rider, like, why not? Like, that's what you kind of do. So, will I say do this? No, because the margin of error is, like, you could die. But I mean, I did great.
Yeah, maybe not something that just any person would do. Maybe, like, a several decades younger Carl Fredrickson might do. But I don't know beyond that.
I mean, listen, if you know how to work the bike and you can torque, Godspeed, you know? Because... It's either you're going to land the landing or you finna die. That's it. That's the only two options. So
I want to know what it's floating on.
Chris Kyle, age 31, described it as a once in a lifetime. Sorry, go ahead, Kaiko.
No, I was saying.
So what they did was that you made a custom little mini skate park and then you attach it to the hot air balloons for it to be in the air.
Yeah, I got to read this on air for the audio podcast people. Hang on. The British rider completed the world's first stunt called Don't Look Down. The world's first stunt called Don't Look Down when he rode around a custom-made bull suspended by a hot air balloon. The balloon set off from Charlton Park Estate in Wiltshire and flew about 30 miles over the Cotswolds before touching down. There he is. And Kyle performed several highly technical BMX tricks in the short time window in February and achieved the feat while wearing a parachute and contending with a constantly swinging bull. The Red Bull athlete from Stranraer in Dumfries and Galloway, apologies if I'm pronouncing that wrong, in Scotland, has competed in professional BMX events since 2008. He said, quote, I went straight to the edge, looked over and thought, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, end quote. Kiara, any additional thoughts?
A shout out to him. You know? I don't know. It's pretty cool.
He knows Kaiko, how to do his job. Say again?
He knows how to do his job.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when you factor in the physics of it. The story was talking about how the bowl that he's doing tricks in was swinging back and forth the entire time. It's really easy to sort of lose track of, like, your center of gravity and, like, physical rotation with all of the like, spinning and going back and forth that you're doing in that thing. It's obvious that I've never done stunt biking, but but it's like, so, I can imagine how that's a lot to figure out. Kaiko.
So I'm saying, so he had a parachute, but what happens to the bike?
Rip.
Oh my god, that.
I don't know. Hopefully no one's directly underneath that.
Well, that bike gonna come down like a bomb and blow everything up in like a 10 feet radius.
Yeah, hopefully not. Hopefully this was like I missed if there was something else describing this was over water. This looks like, hang on a second.
Oh, okay.
I don't see anything in here about exactly where he was floating the skate park over. Let's see. Oh wow, it's actually registered as an aircraft. That's another photograph. You're telling me that's a registerable aircraft?
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, my mind's having trouble wrapping itself around the full context of this. But again, I guess back to Kaiko's point, you got to pick your environment very carefully, because with the slightest miscalculation, you're good with the parachute on your back. But
yeah
without a remote controlled something like the parachutes that were installed on the cars in Furious 7.
Yeah.
If you don't have a thing to help the vehicles touch ground safely, independently of the person,
right.
It's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
But anyway, good grief. So yeah, this is weird news right here on Weekend Showcase, live across YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter at Weekend Showcase. Thanks so much for joining and smashing that like button and subscribing or following. Don't forget, we have this and all of our other topics that we're going to be talking about tonight listed in the description on the YouTube and Facebook versions of this episode if you want to read more about this or any of the other topics that we talk about on the show. So let's move on to the next item on the docket, which is from Fox News. Party of one, man boards plane, realizes he's the only passenger on the aircraft.
That's pretty cool, though. I like that.
This a little Twilight Zone-y for my taste, but okay. It looks like this is trying to load a video clip of some kind. I think this
I wish that would happen to me.
So how do you navigate around this in these changing conditions where you could see significant delays? And
that doesn't look directly connected to this. Sorry, never mind. A man from Lancashire, England, hang on a second, arrived at an airport recently only to realize he was the only passenger booked on the flight. Paul Wilkinson, 65-year-old father of one, boarded a flight from Faro, Portugal to Belfast, Ireland with the airline Jet2. Wilkinson was surprised to realize he was the only person who bought a ticket for the flight that particular day, as SWNS reported. At first, Wilkinson thought his plane had been delayed or canceled since there were no other passengers at the gate when he arrived. He told SWNS, quote, "I spoke to the stewards waiting to take the passports, and they said, 'Oh, Mr. Paul, you're VIP today. You're flying on your own,'" end quote. And there's the whole cabin. Kara, it sounded like you would actually be looking forward to a flight like this.
Oh my God, I would love that. That means I can sleep with my mouth open and just be comfortable. You understand, you would not have to worry about anything. That means I could use the bathroom. I could, what? Are you kidding me? And that's it, because it's just me.
You still got to be careful with those on-flight snacks, because like some of those bananas can have some extra stowaways on board if you catch my drift. Got to be careful with that. Don't be having your mouth open like that with stuff crawling around. Come on.
I get really from all the champagne
on the plane,
from the champagne of course that they give you, I'll get really drunk. Like, I mean, if there's no one else on the plane, like, I'm just
I would bring a meal. I would bring like a full course meal and just be like out there chilling and eating. I would, man. You don't have
so does that mean you actually like, wait, go ahead, Kaiko. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, I don't think you took advantage of this situation. I think
bring me a blanket. Like, what? Man.
So then what is some tolerable airline food that you actually would enjoy? Like, this is something I have to hear. Usually airline food is notoriously bad. I've never really heard any context where someone actually looks forward to that kind of dining. Kiara, looking at you. Yeah.
I mean, like, if you can give me some goldfish, maybe some pretzels, I'd be good.
You know, little Biscoff cookies that give you them little Biscoff.
I like a Biscoff cookie, but see, I want the full five. I don't want two. I want five.
Right. Well, two. You asked for more. You told the lady, listen, I can't. This is two, not going to work. You're going to have to give me some more.
Right. You can give me more. You know? I have the flight attendant sit down with me. Y'all want to watch a movie? Because you don't even really got to do your job. It's just me.
Right.
Go ahead and take a nap.
Like, yeah, I got distracted by this too. This is totally like almost Bachelor Life kind of stuff right here, basically. Like, how often does somebody? I mean, how often do you get the kind of opportunity for this kind of selfie, right? With nobody else interrupting, right? It's like, this is my airline VIP treatment,
right?
It's like, they did a one-on-one safety demonstration. Wow. The three-hour flight cost him roughly $143, and he jokingly asked for a refund for his seat.
He got the deal of the lifetime, man.
One of the funniest parts of the day, he said, was when the plane arrived in Belfast, and Wilkinson's luggage was the only piece at baggage claim.
Of course.
Yep, there it is.
Somebody else's luggage came through. But one other person's luggage came through.
Dang.
I mean, there's, you know, there's a comment that can be made here about how in the world did this happen? You know, like, what is the threshold at which it's determined that there's too few passengers on the flight to justify the amount of, like, I don't know, carbon emissions from the plane to get one person from one country to another? You know what I mean? Right. There's like, there's a climate side to this particular story that's not on the positive side, but this is a really amusing headline that does not happen every day. I will say that. So yeah, but yeah, I'm with you, Kiara. Like, any chance you can get to sort of like actually relax on a trip like that, it's like sold. All of that being said, sold.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's go ahead and let's move on. The next topic here. New York Post, once again. Uh-oh. AI clones teen girl's voice in $1 million kidnapping scam. Quote, I've got your daughter, end quote. Okay, buckle up, people. We gotta cover this. All right. Artificial intelligence has taken phone scams to a frightening new level. An Arizona mom claims that scammers used AI to clone her daughter's voice so they could demand a $1 million ransom from her as part of a terrifying new voice scheme. Distraught mother Jennifer DeStefano told WKYT while recalling the bone-chilling incident, quote, I never doubted for one second it was her. That's the freaky part that really got me to my core, end quote. This bombshell comes amid a rise in caller ID spoofing schemes in which scammers claim they've taken the recipient's relative hostage and will harm them if they aren't paid a specified amount of money. Kiara, what's your first take on this?
That's really scary. And I feel like, I don't know. That's like work smarter, not harder on kidnapping people, obviously. But like that's truly, no, it is. But that truly is scary because if you're telling me you can't tell the difference, then you would easily give away that money, you know? So that's just crazy, man, you know? I don't know. Just like scam people's bank accounts. Don't be going to this, you know? Don't do a fake kidnapping.
Yeah, pretty sure that's the right conclusion to arrive at. This is a bad idea. Do not this do like, this. You stop giving.
You're doing a little too much now.
Let's not give AI new information on like what to do if/when it becomes truly sentient and capable of doing something like this without the assistance of a human operator. Kaiko, what do you think?
Is this like a bridge too far? That's my other question.
Well,
that's what I really want to know.
I can answer that. There's some stuff. Well, first of all, hang on. Let me get Kaiko's take before I go into that. Kaiko, go ahead.
Well, no. Finish what you said.
Well, I was just going to say, like, basically, if you post a lot of video content out there anywhere on the internet, regardless of, like, you know, what social media network or what channel or whatever, basically, you've already got a bunch of publicly accessible voice samples of yourself out there. Right. So theoretically, the system can. Yeah, exactly. So okay. Kaiko, go ahead.
So what is, where is your daughter when this happened? Because the daughter's right. And you be like, but you.
She probably was at school.
Right. Something. You know what I'm saying? Let's see what they have. Let's question here.
Oh, she was on a ski trip.
Yeah, the Scottsdale, Arizona resident recounted how she received a call from an unfamiliar phone number, which she almost let go to voicemail. Then DeStefano remembered that her 15-year-old daughter, Bree, was on a ski trip, so she answered the call to make sure nothing was amiss. The simple decision would turn her entire life upside down. Then it's a really emotionally traumatizing recounting of that phone call. There's a couple photographs here.
So do you think that these people, right, the chances that they call the lady right when the daughter went on the trip, these people knew that the daughter was on the trip?
Our devices are surprisingly capable of right. like tracking us, basically, right. especially if you don't know what settings to disable. But yeah, go ahead.
Oh, that's it. I'm gonna let's see if they answer.
Yeah, the mysterious caller threatened. You call the police. Quote: You call the police. You call anybody. I'm going to pop her so full of drugs. I'm going to have my way with her, and I'm going to drop her off in Mexico. End quote. Oh my God, I'm not a parent, but that would terrify me. To hear that from AI or a person pretending to like or purporting to be doing this or be able to do this. Kira, I'm gonna throw this to you now. I can't with this anymore.
Yeah. I don't know whoever did this, man, but yeah, that's crazy. That is wild. But I'm glad that she's safe, you know, and I'm glad that I don't know how she figured out it was fake. I like how it says he initially asked for $1 million, but then lowered the figure to 50,000. That's how you know it's a scam.
Yeah. Because
if you was really hard set on $1 million, you would stay at $1 million. You don't. Way too low.
This next to last sentence here, it really sticks out to me too. For the entire call, this mother was convinced that her daughter was in peril. Quote, it was completely her voice, it was her inflection, it was the way she would have cried, end quote. I really want to underscore that here because it's really can't be overestimated, the capacity of AI to fake things. Like, I saw a thing on the news recently that was like, somebody did a whole Joe Rogan podcast.
AI. I saw that. Yes.
Yeah.
Where is this?
People are having whole conversations.
Where is this software to generate speech?
Well, first of all, ChatGPT-4 is capable of doing some pretty, really disturbing stuff, first of all. And it's all under the auspices of exploration of this technology, artificial intelligence. You know, so it's like, it almost feels like, okay, there's a scene in the first Jurassic Park movie where the Malcolm, the Jeff Goldblum character, is calling the guy who invented the park on the carpet because he's like wielding this cloning technology around like some kid who's found his dad's gun. It feels like that's what we're doing as a collective species as humanity with regard to AI. We have this amazing technology. We understand how to use it, but we don't really quite have a proper grasp, it seems, of how to like ethically apply it because there's a lot of good that it can be used with. But like some things, just to see that if it's possible to do, it's like we don't need to know that. It's like I think on some level we all know the lane in which AI should best be sort of applied in. I don't know why we keep feeling the need as a species to keep doing all these extra things. I don't get that.
But Don, to go to the part that you highlighted that sentence, and I'm saying, this girl had to have said something to them for them to have properly got the way she cried. Now, that's with me. I don't understand how AI got cried. I'm saying the software had to program. But somebody had to program. You see what I'm saying? Like somebody had to program that capability for AI to like that. So these people are using something else. I mean, they're using another piece of AI you don't necessarily have access to. You know what I'm saying? These are hackers, you know what I'm saying? So they have some...
But your statement is built upon the premise that you don't need pre-existing voice samples that are easily publicly accessible. To my previous point, they probably had access to, you know, publicly viewable, you know, YouTube content or Facebook posts, TikTok videos, any little voice sample of the person crying convincingly, because that's the real person having an audio sample of that on camera. It's like, it's all out there. I mean, and it's just, I hear where you're coming from, Kaiko, but it's like, it's almost like as humanity, we sort of did this to ourselves, you know, at a certain point. I feel like step one is sort of recognizing that.
No, I'm saying is AI, you know, going back to just our conversation we had even before we got on it, they don't,
they're kind of monotone with it. So I'm trying, you know, somebody has to program now this cry and this inflection, the inflection. You're talking about the tone and her personality, like the soul in her voice. How somebody, these people had to have talked to this girl. Or at least they could have got videos and stuff like TikTok. And, you know, but then they programmed that into this AI. So it would work like that. So I'm saying that this is the next level stuff that they're working with.
Yeah, it's the scary part about it is it's not exactly poised to get better over time. You know, like these advancements in AI are just going to go ahead and keep getting more and more advanced in ways that we don't necessarily fully realize or have the capacity to predict. And if we don't really have the capacity to see it coming, how can we really profess to understand it or, you know, regulate it properly, you know? So I don't know. It feels like there's a lot of work that's yet to be done, and the more stories that keep coming out like this, you know, it's really disconcerting. And like I'm trying to be optimistic about this technology, but in the wrong hands, just like anything else, you know. Go ahead, Kaiko.
Right. No, I was just saying. I think that when I think about AI, I think that what they're trying to do is a level where they can make a bender from Futurama.
Oh, from Futurama. I know what you're saying.
Because Bender is like, I mean, he's basically a human. I mean, you know, he has feelings. He has emotion. He tastes. I think he does. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's what they're trying to do.
Well, let's hope that cooler heads prevail at the end of the day when it comes down to like the decision of whether or not to cross certain lines in terms of, you know, stepping closer and closer to AI sentience and all that sort of thing. I mean, we've seen movies and TV shows for several decades now about the extent to which things can go wrong just based on what best possible guess of the worst possible scenario might look like and the road to get there. So for whatever reason, we keep going down that path, but hopefully in the most critical junction points, we still have the capacity as a species to be able to pump the brakes. I don't know. I'm going to try to be optimistic on that. It's above my pay grade, but like, hopefully we can still do that. How about you, Kiara? Are you optimistic?
I want to be, I really do, but like stuff like this, like, you know, the people on the internet, they get creative. And once one person has this idea, you got multiple people who are going to refine it and make it even worse, you know. I'm hopeful because along with the bad, there is good that can come out with AI clones. Like I know like Ashton Kutcher and that the foundation that he works with that battle against like child abuse and everything and catching predators and how they use AI in those situations. I think it just, you kind of have to be careful and just, I don't know. I don't know if there's any moderation, any regulation that can happen with this. I hope that she sued, or at least going into further investigation and figure out who truly got that type of information to extort her like that. Mm-hmm. But I would like to be hopeful because, you know, as shiesty and disgusting as the internet is, there are good things that come out of it.
I don't know why it always feels outnumbered though. That's the frustrating part.
It's not. I mean, I think it's just
feels outnumbered.
Yeah, it feels outnumbered. It's just, you know, whatever has the most attention and the most traction, that's what's gonna be in front of everybody's faces. So I don't know.
Anyway, well, let's try and be cautiously optimistic about the future, but definitely keep an ear to the ground for further developments on this. But don't forget, all of our topics, this and all of the other topics that we're discussing tonight, can be researchable in the sources section in the description area at the bottom of this video. Those of you who are watching us on YouTube or Facebook, you can check that area for more information if you'd like to read more. But this is Weird News right here on Weekend Showcase, live across, like I said, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter at Weekend Showcase. Thanks so much for joining and smashing that like button and subscribing or following. Let's see what else we've got coming up here, which, continuing along, we have a thing from The Mirror. Student shames school for disgusting dinner that's a crime against humanity. Whoa. A school has been shamed for serving up wieners in tiny condoms and I don't know what pee bricks are. What are pee bricks? I don't know what that is.
That's just,
I don't know what pee bricks are either.
Except that something is called that.
Should I Google it? Stand by.
Okay.
Stand by.
Photos of the grim meal given to students have been shared online, with Reddit users commenting on how disgusting it looks. Talking to Reddit, a student simply said, quote, "My friend's lunch at school, gluten-free green pea stew," end quote. Wow, so those are the auspices that this was given to these kids under. It's healthy. It looks like a nightmare, but it's healthy for you. Like, if that's not healthy, healthy cuisine in a nutshell, right? Like, right. Either it looks terrible or it tastes terrible, but it's good for you at the end of the day. And that makes it all okay.
So hold on, I'm trying to understand. The problem here is that having this weird food that it looked like, what is it saying?
I think it's the fact that the way that they're serving it is serving wieners and tiny condoms. I guess it's a pea in the shape of a brick. I don't know. But it's like, why would you serve me a hot dog in a condom? I feel offended. And now I gotta fight you. Because how am I supposed to eat it? It's a little disrespectful. Calm it down. I'm upset with her. Or them.
Wow.
Whoever. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, that's Miss Kiara definitely swiping left on that whole idea.
No.
Holy crap. And not everybody is convinced that the meal is actually... Okay, here it is. The meal appears to consist of a pea jelly and two processed sausages, and not everybody's convinced it's actually edible, with one user asking whether her friend actually attends school in Chernobyl, which suffered major radioactive fallout instead. There it is.
Wow.
Send me to prison now.
Wow,
I would get better food up in the penitentiary than something like that. Get this off my screen. That is so disrespectful.
All right. Oh my. One user commented, a gelatinous pea brick and human fingers. Another user added, honey, what's wrong? You haven't touched your hot dogs and pea mold yet. Equally as disgusted, a third user said, quote, someone broke out the 1970s cookbooks, end quote. A fifth user said, you should turn the chef in for crimes against humanity, end quote. Wow. So it comes after a teacher called out his school for the depressing dinners being served to both staff and students. He explained how he joined the lunch line only to be served a mini pizza and chunks of what turned out to be sweet potato. While he didn't share how much the meal set him back, the history teacher claims most of the school decided to go hungry that day rather than bite into the cardboard pizza and mystery chunks. He said on Reddit, quote, my school's lunch for today, allegedly they are sweet potatoes, end quote. Wow. Yeah, there you go. Another Reddit user says, quote, wow, that is just pathetic. I would be in front of the school board ripping a strip. Prisoners get better food than that, end quote. There you go. There's your plus one, Kiara, right there.
Listen, wow. I used to sell it to school.
Yeah. Chick-fil-A or pizza?
Yeah.
Or just give me a PB&J, man. Like, what? What is this?
So, those who don't, it's been a very long time since I last had a reason to bring this up on air. Kiara, you and I are both alums, fully graduated alums of Norfolk State University. And we actually had an on-campus Chick-fil-A at campus. I vividly remember, I seem to remember for a brief period, there was a mini, a Pizza Hut Express for a hot minute, but that got taken away after
Pizza
a certain
Hut, yeah, and it got shut down.
Yeah. I don't remember why that got shut down, but I vividly remember we had a Chick-fil-A when we were going through grad too. Undergrad.
Right.
Yeah, it was Chick-fil-A in Tropical Street.
I have a Chick-fil-A, but they serve Chick-fil-A there. I think Chick-fil-A sold, they sold the school a whole bunch of chicken sandwiches. And that's what we had.
But are they actual, but is it actual white meat? Is it breast meat? Is it real breast meat from a chicken, and not some sort of amalgamation?
Are you saying the Chick-fil-A has real chicken? Unlike McDonald's and places like that, that ain't real chicken. But Chick-fil-A, I think has real chicken. I think that's why I like their sandwiches. They got the type of sandwich that is real white meat chicken.
Okay, so now, like, and I'm going to open this up. I'm going to open this question up to both of y'all now. And any of y'all watching, feel free to like post a comment here and we'll throw it up on screen. Where do y'all stand on this? If you had to pick one, Chick-fil-A sandwich or Popeye's chicken sandwich?
Oh,
Popeye's chicken sandwich. Crazy for even...
You crazy nose again.
Popeye's.
I mean,
Popeye's gives you more meat.
Yeah.
Are we sure that that's all that? See, because I remember reading in the news some time ago, and I know y'all are familiar with this as well on some level. Like, there were people like committing serious. Like, I remember reading a thing where somebody actually got killed for their place in line.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Either like seriously hurt or actually killed.
Yeah. There was more than one of those. I know that. It's a good sandwich. I know those incidents in Atlanta.
There's no such. No, Keiko, no, I gotta push back on you. There's no amount of food quality that's worth committing, like, you know, assault or murder over. Oh, I don't think so.
It happened. I can't believe it happened. Over a chicken.
Okay, okay.
Over a chicken.
Like, just making sure we're all coloring with the same set of markers here. That's all. That's all. But yeah, this is, man, I'm not even gonna think about this anymore in terms of like who thought this was a good idea to do. Back to this original topic here, the school serving whatever that was. I'm not even gonna put that on screen again. Right. Apologies to those of you who are eating dinner. But yeah, this needs to be moved on from. We have five more topics left.
Well, let me just say this real quick. Hmm? So anybody eating dinner, they should feel that they're not eating this, and you know, for the most part.
There you go. So those of you on the East Coast right now, I guess is the strongest chance for that happening. It's like 6:45 on the East Coast right now, so that's closest to dinner time, I guess. There you go. There's your extra little 2 cents from Keiko on this particular topic. This is once again Weird News right here on Weekend Showcase, streaming live across YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter at Weekend Showcase. Thanks so much for joining and smashing that like button and subscribing or following. We have three more topics left. I think three or four. Four. We have four topics left. And starting with this first one, which comes to us from Live Science. Okay. As syphilis levels hit 70-year high, sexually transmitted infection epidemic shows no signs of slowing. Rates of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis rose in the U.S. between 2020 and 2021. I actually read something about this some time ago, and the first explanation for this was because of the pandemic lockdowns. And just as soon as everything opened up again, we were sort of that much in a need to connect with each other again, up to the point of sexually, apparently. And so I guess this was sort of the natural conclusion of that reality. Kiara, Keiko, where do you stand on this?
Y'all are nasty and seek help.
I'm scared because it's gonna end up mutate into a regular viral disease.
Yeah.
Somebody, and you know, it's getting. You're just gonna.
Uh oh, phone call line one. We got the. Uh oh, is that the Joint Chiefs? Kiara? Oh, okay. All right, I guess she has to be muted for now. All right, we'll hopefully bring her back in a moment. For now, let's see. More than 2.5 million cases of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis were reported in the U.S. in 2021, nearly 6% more than were reported in 2020. Syphilis rates in particular leapt to levels not seen since the 1950s. More than 176,000 cases of syphilis were reported in 2021, up from nearly 134,000 in 2020.
Sorry.
This is a bunch of random stats. Yeah, welcome back here. Let's see.
Yeah, it's definitely because of the pandemic. You know, and I get people are lonely, and I get that, but like, have some decorum. Like,
yeah.
Syphilis.
More than 1.6 million cases of chlamydia were reported in 2021, making the STI the most commonly reported of the three. Chlamydia rates were up about 4% from 2020. Signaling a shift towards pre-pandemic levels, but not a full rebound. I want to take some antivirals right now, just reporting this story right now. Like, just from sitting in this chair reporting on this right now. You know.
You said people need love. I'm lonely.
But not that bad. I don't know.
Apparently
so.
It's called put your wiener in a condom. Like in the last thing.
But those were okay. No, let's not conflate the two. That's a way different scenario. That was just for exaggeration purposes. There, let's not conflate those two topics together, please. But I take your point about like the importance of practicing safe intercourse and, you know, proper communication with your partner. Obviously, you know, the most important thing to take away from something like this. But oh my goodness. Be safe out there. Be safe out there. That's all I can say about this. I don't.
That's the message you got to take from this at the end of the day. Just be careful.
Yeah.
Don't be
out of my
sorry, be here. Careful. You sometimes.
Yeah.
Are you sorry?
But anyway, those of you curious about reading further into this, good luck with that. And then also feel free to check the sources area of the description part right here on the YouTube and Facebook versions of this episode. You can see a list of all of the sources that we use on this or any of our weird news episodes. You can check there for a starting point if you want to read further. Moving on, let's check out this next topic here. This is also from Life Science. I think we may have one more from Life Science as well after this. Wild African elephants may have domesticated themselves. This was first published 3 days ago. Wild elephants play, help sick members of their species, and babysit each other's young, suggesting that they domesticated themselves. I don't know what this prompt is. That's weird. Anyway, so yeah, first reaction, Kaiko, Kiara?
Why elephants?
Yeah, I think elephants they're definitely really cool animals. You know, they're lovely little creatures. Look at them. Living their best life.
I remember some time ago, several weeks ago, I think we covered a story about a three-legged elephant that was like really kind of like and the way that she was accepted by the community. I'm trying to remember like how that worked out, but it's in a previous episode. Y'all can find the backlog on elsewhere on our YouTube and Facebook and Twitter pages and such. But there was another thing that we covered sometime earlier before that that actually is really what is triggering memories here with this image here, because I noticed one of these elephants has tusks coming in and the other does not. I don't know the age difference here, but I remember reading a thing sometime last fall that was talking about how due to the extent of the ivory trade, that illegal ivory trade, and the horrible slaughter and exploitation of these animals, there are some elephants that actually had adapted to the ivory trade by evolving by basically making the tusks a recessive trait, meaning they literally don't grow tusks anymore, some of these elephants.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when I look at this image, that's what comes to my mind immediately. It's like, wait a minute, is this other elephant gonna get tusks, or is this another example that sort of calls back to that previous story about humanity's continued influence on nature? I don't know but anyway, I know that's a little bit of a digression here, but that's just part of my first reaction to this. So let's see, there's a new study. Okay, here we are. For thousands of years, people have domesticated or bred animals such as dogs and horses to enhance their friendliness, reduce aggression, and increase cooperation. Some scientists think a similar phenomenon called self-domestication has given humans and bonobos traits commonly found in domestic animals. During self-domestication, individuals who are less aggressive and more cooperative are more likely to successfully breed and pass on their genes. However, experts told Live Science that the underlying idea of self-domestication doesn't really hold water. In the new study, Limor Raviv, who studies the evolution of languages at the Max Planck Institute for Psycholinguistics in the Netherlands, and her colleagues suggest that elephants have also domesticated themselves. The findings were published April 3rd. Okay, so what is, and that's, I guess, pretty much the end of this. I don't know what this prompt is that keeps popping up here. That's weird. But what's y'all's final take on this before we move on?
More power to the elephants. Boy, shout out to the elephants.
Yeah, shout out to the elephants. We love them. We stand elephants over here.
Yes, we do. But I guess the larger question I was hoping to go for here is, would either of you hypothetically have would either of you accept into your homes a pre-domesticated pet elephant, hypothetically?
Of course. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Those things are big. Those things grow pretty big, though.
Are you?
And that's cool.
It is a barn house.
The elephant could watch over the house. Ain't nobody gonna come to my house and steal nothing.
Exactly. You gotta add on. I wouldn't drive nowhere. Is he? This old horse. I don't need no car.
But like elephant travel, that's gonna be decidedly slower than a horse.
I'll get there when I get there.
Not to mention, didn't the Barnum and Bailey circus kind of ruin that for everybody?
Yeah. Well, also, you're not supposed to ride on elephants.
Exactly, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's... shout out to elephants. Let's just put it that way. But I really... One other thing, I don't think that'd be a good idea as a security pet though, because like, I mean, just have a jar of, have like, all they have to do is like, grab Kiara's jar of peanut butter to like, you know,
my bribe elephant them. My elephant gonna know better. Sorry. My elephant gonna know. I'm sorry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So like, so choosy elephants choose Jif, but if you show up with a jar of Peter Pan, this thing is gonna be like, nah, fam.
Nah, fam, because my elephant is high quality. We only eat high quality peanut butter around these streets. None of that artificial crap. Mm-hmm.
I see. So before we move on, one last joke on this bit. Kira, chunky or creamy peanut butter?
Creamy.
Okay. Kaiko?
I don't like peanut butter too much, so I don't have a preference.
Really? All right, well, I'll say creamy. So
I like jelly.
I do love jams. I do love jams.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. So, well, the majority of us seem to be in favor of creamy peanut butter, it seems. So that's cool.
I think I picked creamy though, over crunchy.
I shouldn't let you say that because you missed your opportunity, Kaiko. But all right. Your voice is noted here. Let's move on. We have two topics left here before the top of the show. And then we got to do dad joke of the day. Or top of the hour, excuse me. This next one's from NPR. Police came to pull a Jeep out of a lake. They found a woman inside alive.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like you're still here. Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, we lost your camera feed for a second there. Yeah, so it started with a call from a fisherman who said he saw what looked to be a black Jeep virtually submerged in a large lake in Marion County, Texas. Not until later, after a tow truck came, did anyone realize someone was in the vehicle and that they were still alive.
Mm.
Wow. Captain Chuck Rogers, an investigator at the Marion County Sheriff's Office, told National Public Radio, quote, "We do not know how long the Jeep was in the water," end quote, and that's just one of several questions that remain unanswered about the unusual case. After that initial call on Friday morning, it took deputies around 18 minutes to reach the scene at Lake of the Pines, which sits between Dallas and Shreveport, Louisiana. It took a little longer for a truck from a nearby wrecker service to arrive. The Jeep was 40 feet out in the water. The fisherman who called the authorities stuck around, using his boat to help a tow truck worker get out to the Jeep and hook up a tow cable. Hang on, let me get out of this thing, sorry. Yeah, that is deep. Holy crap, look at how deep that Jeep was in the water.
Jesus. Wow. You just fake chilling in the car.
You just used like all of your good luck surviving that without drowning. How in the world did that happen? And that's like, wow.
I would have climbed out the window.
I mean, we don't know what kind of vehicle this is. If it's like, you know, one of those vehicles with power windows, like you'd have like a difficult time breaking it. You know what I mean? So unless there's like a manual sunroof or something, but I guess not. So yeah.
Her son
said, I don't know. This is just
her son said, "Is the Jeep okay?"
I'm pretty sure that car's that vehicle is a straight up loss at this point. I'm pretty sure.
Insurance.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure this investment, the fact that you can say that this investment is literally underwater, says all you need to know.
Right.
About this particular situation. I'm just confused how do you get 40 feet out into open water like that? You know.
He was probably carried by the current or something like that. Like,
But to get to where the current takes you out that far, I mean, you're not supposed to text and drive. Like, I don't know. I probably shouldn't have done that joke. I'm not saying that that's what happened. I'm just saying that I don't see an explanation for how this happened is what I'm ultimately saying.
Drugs.
And thank goodness that this person was found and pulled out of that wreckage safely. That's all I can say about that. But yeah, let me see.
Well, at least he's alive, you know?
So, let's see. Okay, so the woman was listed as a missing person hours earlier, 12:35 a.m. on Friday. Let's see. Longview police said they couldn't share any more details about the woman or the circumstances that might have led to a predicament. Okay, so... Oh, wow. Yeah, so this is a Google map that we're looking at. Apparently, she just straight up drove down Woody's Camp Road, which is basically a straight shot and dead ends right at this water. Right at this open water. So it's literally just hit the pedal to the metal, I guess, and that's what happened here.
Do it on purpose?
I don't know. We can't say. The authorities won't release any further information, and we can't speculate on something that may still be an ongoing investigation, but I don't know. I don't know what else to sort of extrapolate from this other than thank goodness she's alive. The Jeep, on the other hand, is going to need to be replaced. Anyway,
yeah,
that's I guess, all that we can say about that, unless either of y'all have any final thoughts on this before we move on to the last one.
I guess shout out to Jeeps. I don't know. It kept her alive. I don't know.
That's one angle. Yeah, if it was a smaller vehicle going that far, yeah, there wouldn't have been any oxygen to work with.
She drew like a knee. I'm sorry.
Shout out.
Please mute your ringer after this gets swiped. Thank you.
If she had a Nissan, it'd be like RIP. You know, so.
A Nissan? Yeah, probably. Or like any other like lower riding vehicle than a straight up Jeep like that, definitely. But anyway, let's move on. We have one more topic to get to before the end of the show here.
One more.
Last one is from the Associated Press. Fed up by Los Angeles pothole, Arnold Schwarzenegger fills it himself.
Oh, more great to know that he's doing things. Doing things for the community, my friend.
Yeah, it used to be that, you know, Domino's Pizza would advertise that they would do something like this. And all of a sudden you have former governors stepping in. That's awesome. So the actor and former California governor tweeted a video Tuesday of him and a helper using packaged concrete to repair the road in the Brentwood area. Let's see. Schwarzenegger wrote on Twitter, quote, "Today, after the whole neighborhood has been upset about this giant pothole that's been screwing up cars and bicycles for weeks, I went out with my team and fixed it. I always say, let's not complain, let's do something about it. Here you go." End quote. A neighbor rolled down a car window and shouted her thanks at the action movie star. Schwarzenegger says, "You're welcome." I'm never going to get another opportunity to do that voice, let's face it. So, yeah. Anyway, he also says, "You have to do it yourself. This is crazy. For 3 weeks, I've been waiting for this hole to be closed." Yeah, Kara, Kaiko, you have any community potholes or things like that that you'd like to be able to deal with firsthand?
Yeah. Not over here. I know the people in Atlanta? They be like, all right,
they don't care.
They don't care?
Listen, car one time down the street, it was dark. I didn't know there was a big pothole right there. My tire going there and literally doing one of them cartoon things where the air is like coming out while it's rolling and it was just done.
Wow.
I had to walk home.
Not the walk home.
I was like, I had to just leave the car and walk home. Like there was nobody around to help me. Just nothing was gonna happen. I walked home. That's They don't film. I tried to film one time.
Really?
I was trying to help. They said stop doing it. They told me to stop doing it.
Did a city worker or a police officer stop you?
I think a city worker. Maybe it was a city worker. It wasn't a police officer. He told me to stop doing it. And I said, you know what, sir? Okay. That's fine with me.
But like, I would have said, okay, I would have kept going. I would have said, like, take my taxpayer dollars and finish the job then, please. And thank you. Right? Isn't that what they're there for?
Oh, boy.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm crazy. Sorry. I don't mean to, I'm not trying to go flying off the handle. I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble or anything like that. It's just, it seems to me that this is not the circumstance for a city worker to pull rank on a civilian for taking matters into their own hands in the interest of preserving their own or someone else's vehicle and maybe like preventing major damage or a horrible accident as an indirect result of this being unfixed in the community.
Well, he didn't say it with an attitude. He didn't say it like I'm doing it. He just said, listen, you don't have to do what you're doing. And I said, okay, I'm going to stop then.
Wait. You said don't have to do what you're doing or you're going to have to stop doing it?
He said to me, I mean, I'm saying that he was just saying, but, and I said,
oh,
all right, I'm going to stop then. I guess so, he had a little... his little jacket on and everything. I think he was working on stuff. So he said, don't worry about it. I said, okay.
Yeah, I would need some assurances that it's going to be dealt with, because by the time a citizen has to step in with something like that, it's gone on way too long. All right? Taxpayer dollars are being spent all over the place. Let's actually apply it in the right way.
Right. No, I had moved, so I never even had pothole again after that.
Hmm. Well... at least for you, it had a happy ending then.
Right.
I don't know. That's all I can say about that. I guess anything else on this topic before we go ahead and move on? Oh, wait. We didn't really... did we finish reading it? I think we did. Yeah, we did. Well, no, wait. There's something else here. Brentwood residents made repeated requests for repairs since winter storms opened up potholes and cracks on local roads, according to a spokesperson for former Governor Schwarzenegger. Mayor Karen Bass last week announced a plan to address what she called an unprecedented number of damaged streets across the city. Since December 30, Los Angeles has received almost 20,000 service requests for repairs, and as of April 6, crews had filled 17,500 potholes. So that's pretty good progress in that time. Considering, let's see, the Department of Public Works did not immediately respond to an email asking whether the pothole Schwarzenegger filled had been scheduled to be repaired, even if it hadn't been. Like, okay, that's one less for the city people to have to do on taxpayer dimes, right? So it's like, win, I guess?
Right.
This seems like a win-win to me. I don't know. Like, what do y'all think?
I mean, well, you know, he was just trying to help.
Yeah, good news. This is good news, yeah. But anyway, cool. All right, so shout out to former Governor Schwarzenegger there. All right, so let's go ahead and shut this puppy down, I guess. We have reached the end of our docket here on Weird News, right here on Weekend Showcase. What was your favorite topic tonight? I guess, Kaiko, we'll start with you.
The bike.
The Red Bull... The Red Bull stunt biking thing?
Yeah, that was my favorite one.
Here it is. That's okay, it. Why?
That's probably one of the coolest things you can do. I just, you know, more for doing it. I wouldn't do it. I mean, but you know what? I would do it. I would do it because he had a pair of shoes. So why? You know?
Fair enough. So, Kiara, what about you?
I would say the school lunch.
Really? You're going to say that's your favorite? That disgusting school lunch thing?
Injustice was done and a student spoke up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Good point.
All right.
That is a young activist in the making.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
For me, I guess I'm going to go ahead and say, let's see, I'm trying to think, probably the pothole thing. I'm just going to be basic about it. The pothole, it's good to see potholes get fixed. Like where I live, we got potholes, man. Like we got, there's a whole shopping area that's in my hometown that like, we got a bunch of potholes over there. And it's like, if you're not really careful, like they're usually good at getting fixed, but like, it takes a minute for them to get actually fixed, though. Once they are, they last, though.
Right.
So it's like, it's a trade-off there slightly. But holy crap, like, it shouldn't, here again, like I said, it shouldn't come down to a citizen to fix something. Or at the very absolute least, you know, like put a traffic cone down or something to sort of like call attention to this before you mess up your suspension, you know, permanently. Depending on the width and depth of whatever the pothole is. So it's like, yeah, you may as well just drive over an open manhole after a certain point. You know, forget it. Not with my wheels.
Not with my wheels.
Right.
Exactly. Swipe left. Anyway, all right. So we're gonna go ahead and call it a show at that point here. Let's see. Here we are. So once again, that's a wrap for this week's headlines. What was your favorite headlines? Those of you who are watching, please send us a comment. Feel free to send us a comment in the chat section or the comment section on any of our versions of this episode, and you can join the conversation. And now it's time for Dad Joke of the Day, which, yeah, I gotta bust this out again. You're already shaking your head, Kira. Jeez, come on, give me a break. I haven't even read it yet. You know we do this every single time. This is nothing new. Yeesh. All right. I thought I had the thing already queued up. Sorry, hang on one second. Darn it. Ugh. This is embarrassing. All right, here it is. Okay. And take your time loading. All right, now. Trying to find a good one here. Okay. How about... No, I think we already did that one. Okay, here we are. So, when does a joke become a dad joke?
When the dad tells it?
One would think, but no. Kaiko, when does a joke become a dad joke?
Oh, just tell me.
When it becomes apparent.
Good night. That's it. Net? We got it.
Where's that net?
There we go.
We gotta log off. No.
All right. All right. How about this?
That was a good one. No, that was a good one.
Okay. Good. do we want to do one more, or do we close it off here?
You can do one more. Off here. No.
All right. Let me try and find a thinker here.
When it becomes apparent.
Let's see. Okay. Here we are. Watch this. This will be a nice one. Watch this. I tried to explain to my 4-year-old son that it's perfectly normal to accidentally poop your pants. Mm-hmm. But he's still making fun of me.
Okay. All right.
There we go.
You got it.
And okay. That was Dad Joke of the Day. Drop a comment down below to continue the convo. Visit us at Weekend Showcase on all major social media platforms or linktree.com/Weekend Showcase, like in the description and the crawl at the bottom of the screen, to see it all in one place. Do either of y'all have anything to plug?
I got this one plug that's not plugged in.
You know what I mean when I say promote Kaiko.
There go your dad joke right now.
Go watch Beef on Netflix.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, after we get done with this, we got to record a commentary reaction podcast to that. So definitely make sure you're following us on your podcast platform of choice. Just look up Weekend Showcase on Apple, Spotify, Podbean, wherever you are. And you can check that feed out and get that commentary later on in the week. Those of you who are active on Netflix, make sure you have an active membership beforehand, though, because like our podcasts, when we do commentaries, we they're done in a way that you should be listening to them at the same time as you're watching it. So just make sure you have that already in hand beforehand. And don't forget, we'll be back with a brand new live episode again this coming Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. We're going to do another game stream. I'm trying to remember. I think we have Minecraft Legends coming up this week, because that's a rather big game that's dropping this week. Kaiko, you looking forward to that? I know you're pretty big into Minecraft.
I just like the regular Minecraft. I don't be paying attention to what be coming out with these new Minecrafts. I'll be trying to keep up.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if that particular take it or leave it perspective holds after Friday's show. Right. In the meantime, everybody, thanks for watching. Have a great night. Be safe out there, and we'll see you Friday. Good night. All right, 3, 2, 1, cut.